Timothy, I think we're going to start off in 2 Timothy, and I think we're going to start off in chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, we're going to look at the entire book tonight, just different parts of it. I was tempted to try to just preach through the entire book, but I know that would take a little bit longer than anticipated, plus I don't think we'd be able to accomplish as much because there's so much to cover. But in 2 Timothy tonight, the title of tonight's message is Learning from a Veteran. Learning from a Veteran. And this coming Wednesday being Veterans Day is a day where they honor all those who have served in our military and been a good soldier, a good serviceman for our country. And the Bible talks a lot about being a soldier of Jesus Christ. And so when I'm looking at 2 Timothy, most people believe, most commentators, most people that are supposed to be the smart people when it comes to Bible knowledge, they think this is Paul's last written letter that we have recorded in the Bible. And so Paul is saying his goodbyes. We're familiar with this when he says, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course. But remember, he's writing this to Timothy, and Timothy is someone he calls his son. Now, we know it's not his son in a physical sense, but we're thinking of it as a spiritual sense, that he helped lead Timothy to the truth and a saving knowledge of Christ, and also maybe in the discipleship, obviously the relationship they had, they were super close. And he's writing this letter, and I began thinking about it and praying about it. When it comes to Veterans Day, I love the 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse, I think 2 or 3, talks about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ, enduring hardness. Begin thinking what it would mean for a man that's getting ready to give his life, die, be killed for the cause of Christ, writing to someone he truly cares about and loves. And he talks about how much he loves him, how much he cares for him. And he's writing this message, and he's not writing a message of, you know what, this costs me my life. Don't do it. He's sitting in prison, and he knows he's getting ready to be offered up. If you look here in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, you can see what it says here. And we'll start here in verse number 5. It says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And then he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. And I've always found it very interesting, and I know I preached a little series about this a long time ago, but when people are saying goodbye, usually things, as long as they have their right mind, sometimes when people get older, they lose their senses a little bit and don't have as much wherewithal. But when someone's getting ready to pass away, they usually talk about things that are really, really important. Things that are valuable. If someone's getting ready to die and they call people by their deathbed, they give them messages that really come from the heart because they're never going to see them again here in this world. So Paul is here and he is writing to someone he loves, someone he calls his son in the faith, and he is writing him a message and he's talking about being a good soldier. So when I think about this, I think when I have the title of the message, Learning from a Veteran, we have one seasoned soldier of Jesus Christ. Probably if you go and you count the years of service, probably over 30 years of service and all the main wonderful things that the Apostle Paul did. I think about all the great things he did, all the things he accomplished. But think about all the battle scars he has too. Think about all the battles he fought. You say, well, not with a physical sword, but with the sword of the Spirit. He faced stoning. He faced people throwing him out of town. He faced mob after mob after mob. He faced shipwreck. He faced hunger. He faced a number of different things, and he knows he's getting ready to die for the cause of Christ. This is not natural death. This is something he's getting ready to be executed by Nero, and he's getting ready to be executed for the cause of Christ, and he is penning this last letter, and as he pens this letter, view it from the standpoint of a person who's been a soldier of Jesus Christ for these many years, and God has used in a mighty way, writing it to someone else now that he has seen come to the knowledge of Christ, also someone he's trained and someone he's mentored. So it's a seasoned veteran speaking to someone who is, you wouldn't call him a new recruit because Timothy's been doing it for a little while, but at the same time, it's a seasoned veteran speaking to someone that's not as experienced. As I mentioned earlier today, I was not part of the military. Thankful for all those that serve, and thankful for all the sacrifice that was made. And here, the Apostle Paul refers to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. He gives him this encouragement when he said, verse number 3, and therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So the thought of tonight's message is, think about this veteran soldier giving some tips, some hints, some encouragement about how to be a good soldier. And I wonder, are we good soldiers? And there's different things that people have in different mindsets of what a soldier is. But here in 2 Timothy, there's a lot of wonderful things that Paul speaks about being a good soldier, or at least fighting God's way, that would not be the normal amongst our U.S. military or another world's forces military. Because our battle is not with flesh and blood. Our battle is against spiritual things and high places and things like that. It's not carnal. We're mighty, but we're only mighty when we're mighty through God. And here in 2 Timothy, Paul is writing, endure, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then he continues on and talks about how no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. That's the point is, we want to please our commander. We want to please our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So there's some things I think in this passage of Scripture, in this whole book, that this veteran is writing out and saying, this is how I was successful. This is what God has showed me over these years. And as the limited knowledge I have about the military, usually they have someone who is seasoned teaching the new recruits. They have someone that's been in command for a while teaching those that come into boot camp or teaching them. And as they learn and as they grow, they pass that along to those other ones that are there. And that's all Paul is doing. He's like, I've been a soldier here for a number of years. I want you to listen. I want you to pay attention what it means to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's easy to say, hey, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul here is saying, this is what helped me be a good soldier, Jesus Christ. A couple of different things. First thing I want you to remember, and they're all going to be remembers, remember the type of battle. Remember the type of battle that you are in. I put the remember the type of battle. Just the thought here, what type of battle is Paul speaking about? Most people, when they think about the Christian life, they don't concern it as a battle. They think it's something that's novice. They think it's something that's, well, it's nice. You're a Christian, wonderful. Yeah, we need to get involved in this fight. We need to get involved in this war. That's not the way Paul paints the picture, and that's not the way the Holy Spirit paints the picture in the Bible. He does call it a battle. He does call it a war. He does call it something that is worth fighting, and he tells us that we should engage. It's something that is important, something that's valuable, but if you don't make much of the battle, you know what? You're not going to make much of it in your life either. If you don't put the battle as a high priority and see it as the battle that we have been called to and the battle that we are supposed to spend our lives being a part of, you know what? It's not going to mean that much. We're not going to fight much. Some people think of the military and they take their calling to the military very seriously and they're very focused and they want to do the things that their commander wants them to do. But how often in our Christian lives do we take the commands of the Lord as a suggestion? I don't know how often, but I've read and seen things where people say, hey, if your commander tells you to do something, you don't turn around and just say, well, let me think about it. No. Because if you don't say yes, sir, there's going to be a punishment. God gives us commands in his words, and I think sometimes we've gotten so used to his word and so interested in doing what we want to do that God says, hey, do not this. We're like, maybe. So we're not taking the battle serious. So the first thing I think Paul wants to put an emphasis upon here with Timothy is saying, remember what type of battle you're in. Look what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want you to think about what it says in verse number 7. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. The first thing I want you to think about is, it is a good fight. Now, Paul is not here, and he is not talking about, hey, look how good I fought. Look how good I am at fighting. No. He's talking about what type of fight it is. It's a good fight. It's a fight worth fighting. It's the most important battle you'll ever be in your life. Some people think, well, this war was the most important, or this fight, or this argument. I got to win these things. The greatest battle you will ever be in is the battle that God has put you in and the work that you have to do here in this world. It's a good fight. And he's fought. He says, look, I've spent my life, and I have not wasted my life in meaningless battles. I have not wasted my life with trivial things. Instead, I have fought and fought a good fight. And the next thing I want you to think about it, you see that not only was it a good fight, it was a fight that was worth finishing. Look what it says in verse number 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. This is the veteran, soldier of Jesus Christ saying, look, I fought this good fight. I've done what God has called me to do. And he is encouraging him. And look, finish strong. And I know we might not be able to accomplish as much as we'd like to. Even Paul here sitting in a prison cell, probably chained to a centurion or some type of soldier, penning these words, he could be feeling sorry for himself. No, he's writing these letters. He's trying to be an encouragement. He's trying to be a help. Even from a spot where he can't do things physically out in the world, what is he doing? He's praying. He's praying without ceasing. He's writing letters. He's trying to encourage people. He wasn't maybe there planning a church per se, but he was there doing the work that God's given him. And next thing I want you to think about, it is a holy calling. Look what it says in chapter 1 and verse number 8. Chapter 1, verse number 8. It's interesting. It says, well, actually, we'll start off in verse number 6. Chapter 1 says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So as the veteran sitting there, and he's writing this letter, he says, look, this is a good fight. This is a fight that's worth finishing. And it's not just worth finishing, it's a holy calling. If you look what it says in verse number 9, he says, he have called us with a holy calling. This is unlike any other battle that you're going to be a part of. And yes, you're going to fight things of the flesh. And yes, you're going to fight things in this world. But he's saying the battle of Jesus Christ, it's a holy calling. And I read it and I see some things here that encourages me. In verse number 8, it says, be not therefore ashamed. We don't have to be ashamed to be a part of this battle. I've seen some fights, and I've read about some battles, and I've seen some things that is just wrong. Men wish that they were never a part of it. Ladies wish that they were never a part of it because of what it accomplished and what it did and what it stood for. You don't have to worry about that with the cause of Jesus Christ. It is a good cause, and you do not have to be ashamed to say that you're a soldier and that you're fighting in a battle because of the fact that it's something he has called us. And then it says we need to fight the Lord's way. God, look what it says here. I think this is interesting when he says here in verse number 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Look what it's saying, according to his own purpose and his grace. Verse number 7 says, look, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be ashamed. This is a type of battle that we're in, and it's the Lord's battle. It's the Lord's battle. Sometimes I think we think, okay, war, battle, fighting, there's only one way to do it. Pure strength and brawn, you know, that's going to get accomplished. That's not the battle we're in today. Take your Bible and look in chapter number 3. Actually, chapter number 2. Look what it says in verses 24 through 26. Now, here Paul calls Timothy. Once again, the veteran soldier looks at this young man and says, look, I view you as my son. Talking about the close relationship. Chapter number 2, verse number 3, talks about a soldier. Chapter number 2, verse 24, calls him another thing. It says he's a servant. And it says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. We think that's exactly what a battle is. That's what a fight is. We're supposed to strive with one another. We're supposed to fight against one another. But look at what the scriptures are saying. Look at what you're trying to accomplish in this battle. We're not trying to accomplish what the world is trying to accomplish. It's his battle. It's his calling. It's for his purpose. It's a good fight. So let's see how one of the ways that he tells us to fight. It says here, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. Most people wouldn't say that's not what I'm looking for in a soldier, but that's what the Lord's looking for. He's looking for someone that can be gentle, apt to teach and patient, and keep on going, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, some great verses there. And we're not going to have time to look at all that. But I want you to think about what the battle's trying to do. The battle is trying to help win people to Christ. The battle is trying to, look what it says, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him and his will. And I think about that, the snare of the devil, that they may recover themselves. And there are a lot of people that have been messed up and been entrapped by the devil, and they are stuck in there, and they don't know how to get out of there. And what the Lord is saying, if we will learn to be a servant of Jesus Christ, not just a soldier, not one that's just high and mighty, not just one that's going to show his force and show his strength. He says, no, a soldier of Jesus Christ is going to battle the way that the Lord wants to battle, and they're going to try to reach out to those that are struggling. They're going to try to reach out to those that have been ensnared by the devil. They're going to try to reach out to those that have been entrapped by the devil. They're not going to look down upon them. They're not going to push them away, but instead they're going to reach out as a soldier of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to help those that are hurting. Those that are there, and they're the ones that lost in wickedness. Those that are struggling, those are the ones that we should try to be helping. And that's what the battle is. And that's what Paul's writing here. Paul could say, you know what? I remember standing up against this group. I remember standing up and facing this battle. I remember this and I remember that. But Paul instead, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, those that are hurting themselves, those that are that has just been enslaved by the devil and the devil's ways. He says, we have an opportunity to help set them free. That's what a soldier of Jesus Christ, and that's what the veteran's saying. Young recruits many times, because of their zeal, might, let's go out there and let's stomp on everybody in the way. But Jesus Christ, the ultimate warrior, was one that was powerful, but also one that was merciful. One that had truth, but also mercy at the same time. And that's what the soldier of Jesus Christ, this is the type of battle that we're in. We're not in a battle that's against man and against flesh, but instead we're in something that we're supposed to be, as it said, gentle. It says, unto all men, apt to teach, patience. Are we good at that? I don't know about you, I'm not good at that sometimes. And the funny thing is, the people I should be the most patient with is the people I'm probably the least patient with. I'm not being a good soldier then. I demand and I want and I desire. It's got to be this way. But God says, hey, look, we need to learn to teach also. And be patient with those that may look different and act different. Doesn't mean that we put up with sin. We try to help get them out of that sin. That's what a soldier of Jesus Christ would do. First thing I want you to think about is remember the type of battle. It's a good battle. It's a holy calling. It's a battle that's worth finishing. Something we do not need to be ashamed of. Something we do not need to be afraid of. But also we need to fight the Lord's way. Second thing is he writes a couple things he tells Timothy to be strong in. Be strong in. Remember where to be strong. There's two different spots here that's mentioned in the scriptures. And most people would say to be a good soldier, you got to be respectful. And you got to be in good shape. Those are two really important things, and they are. But Paul writes these two things to be strong in. Look what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look what it says in verse number 1. You know, what do you think he's going to say? Be strong in preaching? He does say be in season, out of season. But he says be strong in what? Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, we found grace, for by grace are you saved. We experienced God's grace. And now he's saying, this is what we need to be strong in. Now, Timothy's already been enlisted. Timothy already is a Christian. He's already a soldier in this. And he's saying, Timothy, if you're going to succeed as a soldier, something I had to learn is God's grace is sufficient. I had to learn this, Timothy. This is something I need to learn to be strong in. I can't be strong in my own strength. I can't be strong in my own will. I can't be strong in my own resources. I need to learn to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He demonstrated grace to me, and I live by that grace, and I demonstrate that grace to others. Not only is it saying be strong in grace, this veteran soldier is saying, hey, there is a couple things that I need your help with. Not only be strong in grace, but we need to also be strong in the Word of God. Look what it says in chapter 2 still, verse number 15. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. And it says, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then it continues on. He says, there are certain things that we need to get rid of. He says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Go down to what it says in verse number 23, and it says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. So here's some different truths that are found here. We need to get to the point where we say, okay, I'm going to be strong in the grace that God has given me, and I'm going to learn to use that unmerited favor to forgive others and to reach to others and show them kindness that maybe they don't deserve, because that's what God did for me. But not only am I going to be strong in grace, I'm going to be strong in the Word of God too. He's writing as a veteran soldier, these are some things that you should be strong in. Many times people would say it's a physical thing or it's a physical battle. And he's saying, look, you need to be strong in the grace and in the Word of God. And he doesn't paint a picture that there's not going to be any problems. Instead, he reminds the people. He's talking to Timothy, hey, look, there's persecution that's coming. Look what it says in chapter number 3. Remember, there are danger. There's dangerous times ahead. Remember, there are dangerous times ahead. Look what it says in chapter 3, verse number 12. He says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He's saying, if you're going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you got to remember what type of battle that you're in. You're also going to have to remember the fact that there is going to be some dangerous times ahead. He said, Pastor, that's ridiculous. The only reason why they paint this picture as a battle is because they're trying to get people to want to serve more and do more. It's a lie that the preacher puts on to paint some type of fancy picture that you're in a conflict and you don't really need to battle. You don't really need to do these things. You've missed the whole point if you feel that way. He describes it. The Lord describes it as a war. It's a battle. It's a fight. It's a constant fight. Yes, it's a good fight, but there is danger ahead. Not everything is going to be easy. Look what it says in chapter 3. Look at the description that's coming. Paul is writing as the veteran. He says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. He's writing this to Timothy. And he's saying, look, there are some dangerous times ahead. Then he begins to describe, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despiser of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lover of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lust. And then he continued down to verse number 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I want to encourage you today to remember this. He's saying, look, there can be dangerous times ahead. There are times that are going to be coming in the future that is going to be perilous times. He doesn't say it's always going to be easy. He doesn't say it's always going to be a cakewalk. He is in prison getting ready to die. And as this veteran soldier, he says, stop playing around. There's problems that are going to come. And yea, if you're going to live godly, you're going to suffer persecution, that this is not a game. And he's saying, hey, I'm getting ready to be offered up. I'm ready to go. He's taking it seriously. And I think as we think about this veteran soldier and this veteran missionary is there and he's writing these words, he's saying, look, there are some dangerous times coming, some dangerous times ahead. And then he gives this idea, you're going to have enemies. Look what it says in verse number 8 in chapter number 3. It says, now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. So do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. He goes all the way back to the Old Testament, and he looks and he gives an example of the people that stood against Moses. And then later on in this passage of Scripture, he looks at the persecution that Paul had. Look what it says in chapter 3, verse 11. He says, persecutions, afflictions that came unto me in Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But then he says, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. So this veteran missionary, this veteran soldier of the Lord, he's saying, look, there's perilous times that are coming. There are going to be enemies. There are those that opposed Moses. There are those that opposed me. And if you read the whole 2 Timothy, there's a number of different people. This person caused problem, and this person caused problem, and demons has forsaken him. And this person, Alexander the coppersmith, had done this and that. And some that were outside the church, even some that were inside the church, had caused problems. And he said, look, don't be surprised. He says, Jesus himself said, you know what? They hated me. They're going to hate you also. We should not be surprised. And as a soldier is saying, don't think that life is going to be easy when you serve the Lord, but we need to learn that the Lord delivered them out of it all. Verse number 11, all the Lord delivered me. He's saying, hey, look, yes, you're going to face persecution, but in the end, you're going to win. You say, Pastor, you said this guy is getting ready to be martyred for the cause of Christ. I get it. That's when his journey had been finished. His battle was done. His war was over. He knew he was getting ready to depart. And he's saying to these young soldier in Christ and saying, look, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Don't give up. There's going to be dangerous times ahead. This is a good fight and it's worth fighting. You look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 3, it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2:10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake. 2 Timothy 4, 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Over and over in the scriptures, here in 2 Timothy, he's saying, hey, if you're going to be a good soldier, endure, endure, endure. Don't give up just because somebody causes a little problem. Don't give up because you slip up and fall down. Get back up. Continue. No matter what the persecution is, no matter what the hardship is, continue on because it is a good fight and it's worthy of fighting. I think he also says here to remember to train the next generation. And chapter number 2 and verse number 2, he's telling them, hey, look, I taught you. Now I want you to teach someone else. So that way they can teach someone else also. Chapter number 2, verse number 2, the scripture says, and the things that thou hast learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I think sometimes this is the part that we're missing. We miss this because we don't teach people the right things. We teach things, people sometimes preferences, or how we feel about things, and we miss the whole point that Paul is saying, this is a battle, this is a war, and this is serious. He says, now I want you to take that, and I want you to teach that to the next generation of soldiers. And that way they can teach it, take the next soldiers, and teach that also. Somewhere throughout the years that has changed and somehow that is lost, where we live in a society today where there are churches out there that aren't staying true to the Word of God. Churches out there that are out there to say, hey, what type of church do you want? Do you want this type of music or this type of music? Do you want this Bible or that Bible? Do you want to have an altar call or not an altar call? Do you want to support missions? Do you like a strong gospel? There are people who actually take surveys to try to find out what type of church that people want, and then they try to put that church on, but it's not God's church. It's not God's people. It's not God's work. It's something that's trying to be willing to meet the itching ears that it talks about there. And we got to come to a point is that we need to train the next generation, yes, to do what's right and to do this and do that, but we need to train them to love the Lord and to love the Lord with all their heart. And they see that this is a battle and war, and I want to please my Lord and Savior. I want to please the one who has called me. It says in verse number 4 in chapter number 2, no man warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. We need to be careful that we are not entangling ourselves with the things of this world. There's dangerous things ahead. Yes, there are going to be enemies out there, but there's also going to be things that try to catch our attention. They entangle us. They get us mixed up with the things of this world. As you think about it, those that are fighting on the battle lines probably aren't caring about who wins the baseball game. Those that are in a fort in a battle aren't really caring about little things that we let attract their attention. And once again, I don't think there's anything wrong with having a little interest in some different hobbies, but it can't be our focus. It can't be our mainstay. It can't be a good soldier, Jesus Christ, and have our heart be somewhere else. Our heart needs to be focused on him and his word. We need to train the next recruits. Someone taught Timothy. Think about what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 4 and 5. It says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. He says, when I called to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So Timothy was taught by his mother and taught by his grandmother. Also, you go to chapter 3, and you look at what it says in verses 14 and 15. This veteran soldier is saying, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And in chapter number 2, he says, look, take those things I've taught you and pass those down. We need to be training the next generation. I wonder what the world's going to look like in 30 years. I mean, we wonder what the world's going to look like in 6 months. But in 30 years, what's the church going to be like? Is there going to be a church like this? And that, and my belief is there is. If we're still here, if we're not taken home through the rapture, I believe there is going to be, but it might be a smaller segment. You want to know why? It's because we never taught. We never passed it down. And that's why it's a challenge that we need to make sure that this veteran soldier is saying, make sure you train the next recruits. We need to fight in this battle. We need to remember what's important. We need to remember that it's the Lord's battle, and it's a greater cause than us. We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be ashamed, but we must learn to fight the Lord's way. Be strong in grace. Be strong in the Word of God. Face the persecutions at our head and train the next battle. And probably the last point is, probably my favorite, is remember it's a battle we can't lose. He's already won the battle for us. There's some things that Paul writes to Timothy in here that kind of gives assurance. Look what it says in chapter 1, verse number 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of all the Savior Jesus Christ, who have abolished death and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You know, it's amazing that no longer do we have to fear death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Where is the victory? It's the victories in Jesus Christ. And then you continue, you see what in chapter number 2, verse number 19, it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That, you know, the foundation's sure. If we're built upon Jesus Christ, that foundation is sure. And no one can take that foundation away. And you go to chapter number 4, verse number 8, the old veteran missionary. I know I keep on calling him old, and probably Paul was somewhere between 60 to 65 when he was martyred. But he had spent a number of years serving the Lord, and he has scars and battle tested throughout all these years. And this aged veteran soldier of the Lord, he says in verse number 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. What the scripture is saying here is Paul saying, hey, look, there's a crown laid up for me. He says, you don't have to worry. This is a battle that is won, and there is a crown that's waiting for me. My righteous judge, the Lord Jesus, is going to give it to me. But I love the fact that he says, not for me only. He says, the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not for me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. What he's saying here is that nothing's going to stop us from winning this battle. The battle is the Lord's, and he has won the battle, and we're just continuing fighting the battle till he calls us home or till he calls his church home. And he says, look, there's a crown coming for me someday, but it doesn't have to be just for me. It's for all those that love his appearing. I want to encourage you today, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Go home and maybe read 2 Timothy with this thought of Paul writing this letter to someone he loves. Nowhere does it say stop. Nowhere does it say slow down. Nowhere does it say go ahead and give up. It's not worth it. Instead, he says, look, continue on. He says, endure afflictions, endure persecutions. You're going to have enemies. Moses had enemies. I had enemies. You're going to have people out there that are going to try to stop you, but don't give up. Keep on. But don't fight the battle of what makes sense to you. Fight the battle of the Lord's way. It's God's battle. It's a holy calling. It's for his purpose. He has people he's trying to rescue from the snare of the devil. He has people that he's trying to help. And we miss it. Sometimes we fight our own ways and we discourage people. Sometimes we fight our own ways by doing what we think is best and what we think is right. And we miss the whole point of what God's trying to do. He's trying to rescue the perishing. I want to encourage you today. I see Paul writing this letter, and there's people who give up. Chapter 4, verse number 10, it says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and departed unto Thessalonica. He's saying, look, there are people who have left me during this battle. Keep on going. Verse number 11 says, only Luke is with me. He says, take Mark and bring him with thee. We know the story of John Mark and how he had done something wrong and Paul wasn't willing to take him on the second missionary journey, but now he's saying, for he is profitable to me in this for the ministry. What a wonderful story there of an old veteran soldier of the Lord saying, you know what, let me encourage this young man. I love the fact that's recorded in the scriptures because this battle is for real and we need to take it seriously. I think we can learn something by listening to older people at times. I think sometimes we can learn something from listening to an older preacher that would sit there and talk to you about that God has used and you're thankful for their testimony. I'm not saying all older preachers are right. I'm not saying that just because they're older. But someone who loves the Lord and God's used over the years, sit down and talk with them. If you see somebody that you look up to in a spiritual way that's a little bit older than you, take some time to listen from them and learn from them and grow from them. You know, whether it's a godly wife, a godly mother, a godly husband, a godly father, whether it's a Sunday school teacher or someone that can impart some knowledge to you and encourage you. And that's all Paul is doing here. He loves this man. He believes that God can use this man. And he's saying, these are some things I want you to remember. This battle is unlike any other one. This battle has a different strength to it. This battle, yes, has perilous times ahead, but it's worth fighting. And encourage that next generation. Remember, it's a battle we can't lose. So when the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, in verse number 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, I wonder how many of us would be considered good soldiers. We turn around, we look at the different things. Well, I'm here and I do this, I do that. But God, the commanding officer, if he looked at us, he looked at our record and said, I wonder how many of us would be considered a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Because we live our lives to please the one who has called us. Are we trying to please our commander? Are we trying to please ourselves? I want to encourage you tonight. Remember what the veteran soldier of Christ said and learn from them. I think we can learn a lot from just talking to our veterans and seeing what it was like in boot camp and what it was like to serve in the military and the different sacrifices that were made and different restrictions that were there and different ways they were pushed. And we're thankful for all those sacrifices. Let's consider what a good soldier, a veteran soldier of Jesus Christ is saying. Remember the battle you're in. It's a good fight. It's worth fighting. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for tonight. Lord, I want to be an encouragement and help to each and every person. And Lord, as I preach, Lord, many times it works in my heart in a greater way probably than it does in anybody else's. I want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I don't want to be entangled with the things of this world. Lord, I want to please the one who's called me. Thankful, Lord, for this battle that you placed us in. Help us not to just ignore it. Help us not to just sit aside and watch. But instead, let us realize it is a good fight. One that we do not need to be ashamed of. One we do not need to be fearful in because the battle is yours. Lord, help us to be teaching the next generation. There are some things that are worth fighting for. There's some things that are worth dying for. And God, help us not to fight according to the way that the world would say, but Lord, instead, according to the way that your word says. Help us to be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. Help us to be strong in the word of God and study to show ourselves approved. Lord, help us to shun those profane and vain babblings. And Lord, help us to understand this is a battle that we're not going to lose, but we want to spend the time serving you and pleasing you. In Jesus' name, amen.